Having a chronic illness can be very trying for most people. And oftentimes, what I have noticed in my practice is many people blame themselves for their condition. And here's what I want to talk about today on the Ask Dr. Gill podcast is that there is a responsibility that we all have for our own health, but that doesn't mean we should be blaming ourselves for it. Today on the Ask Dr. Gill podcast, I want to talk about responsibility without blame, a key to healing. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And today on the podcast, I want to talk about this struggle with something that's chronic. And it can be a physical illness, something like mast cell activation syndrome, an autoimmune disease such as lupus or multiple sclerosis, anxiety, fatigue, hormone imbalances, chronic pain, anything that is very frustrating. And people who've tried different things often will be blamed by their doctors. And I think they will often internalize that. And it's like, it's not that there's necessarily anything that you are doing wrong. And I think that we see this a lot in our society in a way. I talked about this on the podcast about shaming, like, there's an aspect of this that can create shame around the situation, but blame is never going to get us anywhere. And I remember years ago, this is when I was working in tech, and we were working on this project and it went completely sideways. So we're in this meeting and everyone's pointing fingers at each other as to what happened. And finally, one of the executives just puts his hand up and he's like, stop. He says, okay, the whole thing is my fault. All right, now how do we fix it? And that is such a great attitude to do with yourself, particularly around a chronic illness, because it's super easy to blame whatever it is, parents, your upbringing, your diet, your doctors, your genes, whatever it is, there's plenty of blame to go around when things go wrong. But does blame solve anything? No, it just creates more chaos, is really what it's doing. And so blame, I think, as a way of approaching problems and situations isn't really getting us anywhere. That doesn't mean that there isn't something that you can do and there isn't responsibility to be taken on situations. And going back to this project, I mean, there is plenty of things that we could have done better as individually and as a team. But blaming each other for the situation and the problems wasn't going to solve anything. And that was really what the executive taught us that day in this meeting. And as it turns out, we fixed the problems and were able to salvage what was a pretty bad situation. It's important when you approach this without blame, that gives room for compassion. Compassion in and of itself can be very healing for a lot of people. And it's really interesting to me talking to people, and I'll say this in sessions with people, where they're being very hard on themselves. And I'll ask, well, if this situation was reversed and I had the condition or your friend had the condition, would you be all over them like you are in yourself? And of course, they're like, no. And we are oftentimes our own worst critics, which can perpetuate the situation. And I don't say that to blame you. I say that as to bring awareness to it so that you can begin to shift the situation. And that's, I think, where the responsibility comes in and life in general, it's not about blame. It's not about guilt. It's not about saying to yourself, I should have known better. It's about ownership. It's about, okay, I'm no longer a child, if you're not a child. I'm no longer a child. I'm not living in that traumatic situation. What can I do now going forward as an adult to make changes to this? And this can, for many people, can be a turning point. And oftentimes, particularly in trauma situations, people can then start to realize, oh, I can respond differently. And I can have agency over what's happening in my world. And obviously, there are certain things in our world that you can't control. In fact, probably most of the things in our world we can't control. All we can control is our immediate environment and our reactions. I'll get to that in the second half of the show. The next thing I really wanted to talk about with regards to this is this trap of learned helplessness as well that I think people get into at times. And, you know, chronic illness of any sort can be completely overwhelming, whether it's, you know, any of the conditions I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast or diabetes or anything. There are things that we need to do to take care of ourselves in when this is happening. And that means, you know, for example, it just going to doctor's appointment. I have a patient who must have 5 or 6 doctor appointments every week or every other week. And she just gets overwhelmed with balancing that with getting to work and trying to live what's left of her life at these times. I think that it is really easy to fall into despair. The problem is that that can perpetuate the problem. And there's a physiologic response that shows up in these situations, not necessarily because you don't have control over it, but it's the attitude of the lack of control. And I think if you can let go, there are places of letting go where then healing can occur. Because what happens is your stress level becomes reduced. That's the main thing about a lot of the problems that we see physiologically are actually mediated through the parasympathetic nervous system via the vagus nerve and the poly, you know, if you look at the polyvagal theory, but we'll just say parasympathetic nervous system to simplify things. As that relaxes, you get benefits in the body. You reduce inflammation. You lower cortisol. Cellular repair starts to happen. The nervous system comes out of overdrive. And I think that the more we can be in that place, that will give us an opportunity to heal. And blame or self-criticism or shame, as I mentioned in the other podcast, those behaviors basically amp up our sympathetic nervous system. It puts us into a state of fight or flight. And in these situations, the person we're fighting with is ourselves, which then becomes a self-perpetuating cycle. And so if you can start to understand that, realize it, and see it, you can then begin to break that pattern. So I'm going to take a quick break. And on the second part of the show, I'm going to talk about what you can do to step in for this. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome back to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkelman. And if you have any questions, please feel free to send me an email at info@askdrgill.com. That's askdrgill.com. And if you have a topic that you'd like to hear on the podcast, let me know about that. And at the end of this, I'll talk about some of the offerings that I have on my website, and we'll get into that in just a minute. So let's talk. We're talking about letting go of blame, but taking responsibility. And I want to talk about how we can take responsibility in terms of our health and our situation. The first thing that I think is actually really important at times is to name what it is you didn't choose. And you didn't choose your genetics, you didn't choose your upbringing, you didn't choose maybe where you live or whatever it is. Name that, acknowledge that, and know that is not something that you necessarily can be blamed for. Because I think sometimes we do blame ourselves for this stuff. And there's a lot of, I'll say, spiritual or new age thinking right now where I think it's trying to empower people where they say, well, you chose everything that happens to you. And that may or may not be true, but it's not helpful if you're using it as a club to beat yourself with. Right. If you're using it as something that's saying, okay, I chose this and I'm going to work through this lesson, that's a different experience. But I think what I've seen a lot of times with people is they use it as a way to sort of attack themselves. And I think that is not useful. In fact, I know it's not useful. And so once you name what isn't yours, the things that aren't yours, ask yourself, what can I control right now? What is there in my hands today in this moment that I can do? And, you know, sometimes that's the rhythm of your day or focusing on your breath or doing a yoga class or choosing to pause instead of pushing through and hurting yourself, setting boundaries around resting or eating a meal. And those are some of the things that from a moment-to-moment basis, we can choose to help ourselves down the road. And I think that oftentimes our society focuses on whatever that golden carrot is. And I do mean a golden carrot because I think we are way more money-focused and, say, image-focused as well in modern society, as opposed to what is it good for me? What is it that I want? And coming back to that. So if you do that in the moment, then I think that sets up a powerful opportunity for you to kind of reclaim what is yours, what is important to you in this moment. The next thing I was about curiosity over judgment. So for example, instead of saying to yourself, I always eat sugar, or I always get sick before a talk, asking yourself, huh, isn't that interesting? I'm craving sugar right now. What's going on internally? Am I anxious? Or what is my body asking for when a headache comes on? Or why is it that I'm ignoring my needs until I crash? Those are questions that you, and the way I'm asking is you're doing it with curiosity. And curiosity opens a door, judgment shuts it. And I think it's important that you use curiosity because now there's an opportunity to explore. And I will say this, that as you start to do this, pain may come up. It may be painful to keep that door open. And this may be part of why people shut the door on themselves instead of leaving it open and asking the question. Because oftentimes there's sadness about whatever happened in the past potentially. So, and then rewriting your story about what you've been carrying. And it's not that you're always sick or you never finish things. These are just stories you tell yourself. And as you open up with curiosity, a lot of times these stories are just going to melt away. Now, I will say that, and I say this not as a warning, I say this as an awareness, is for some people, as their stories, as they let go of their stories, there is a grief that happens because there's been so much identity around the story, whatever the story is. Like, you know, I always get headaches, or I always get sick before big talks, or whatever it is. And I'm using simple ones because I think that there are often identities that we have for ourselves that we are perpetuating. And those identities can be challenging to move through. And I think that's because we have this fixed idea of who we are. The reality is we're always changing. Everything is always changing, including who we are and how we see the world. And that's not a bad thing. So if you're ready to go deeper into this, I am putting together a workshop that I'll be offering online in January. And I'm talking about it now so that people kind of are getting the word about it, but it's about letting go of story, healing beyond diagnosis. And there'll be some information in the notes and on my website as well. Although, to begin with, it may be I'm going to continue to send people to join the mailing list, one, to find out how much interest there is, but also to give people an opportunity to be the first to sign up, because I'm expecting this. There's only a limited number of seats, so I'm expecting it to be full, even the first timer. And I'll probably be adding bits of this to my big Eliminate Anxiety Naturally, and that is up and available on my website. So that if you become a member of that, this information will become added to that. And that offering will be changing, and I'll have more information about that, because I think I'm going to add a live component to that workshop where people can ask questions, a Q&A component. But this is kind of where it's kind of what's happening. And it's evolving. Everything changes. So it's going to be evolving and changing as I get more feedback from people about what it is that they want, as far as that goes. So I look forward to seeing you on one of those. And if you like I said, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to send an email. Check out my website, askdrgill.com. And I look forward to hearing from you in the future. And I'll see you next time.